Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
You are here for this moment. Our focus these last couple weeks, and encouraging you to make this all of 2019. Our theme, our focus, our vision, that which we're going to spend our lives proving in 2019 is that every moment matters, and because of that, we're to matter in the moment. And if every moment does matter, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our feelings, our experiences, our victories, our failings, you fill in the blank. And God thinks they matter, shouldn't it matter to us? But it's got to be reflected not only in the invisible, what's in here, but the visible. It should be part of our lives that people can see that it matters. Meaning we should desire that every moment matters and then live in it. We should care about, in light of glorifying the Father and lifting up the name of Jesus, we should care about every word that we speak, when, how, and why, every thought we think, taking it captive and making it obedient to Christ, every feeling in proportion to knowing that the Holy Spirit is in you to guide you to right feelings, and every action is out of habit of what would Jesus do. And I would be remiss, and my words wouldn't have any meaning if I didn't feel that we needed to take a moment right now, because it matters. This last week, just finding out there, you know, as a pastor, my heart resonates with people, and I'm drawn to people who are hurting, who are in need to walk through something, or to rejoice with them. And this week has been a tough week for that. We have three members of our community family right here that here in just like yesterday or in the last few weeks have been diagnosed with cancer. We have people who need care, who need help in handling situations that they're going through right now. We have 19 of our students and leaders that are coming back today from a weekend retreat up in the mountains, and I've been praying for them that they would be blessed and God would just rock their world to come back on fire for Him and change their lives. Here's what I want to do right now. I'm just feeling led to do this before I start the message, because this matters. And if it matters to God, so it should matter to us. What I want you to do, and please know that this is community of believers. We love you. If you're going through something right now, you're struggling with something, or there's something going on in your life or your family's life that you need prayer for, I want you to stand right now. Just stand where you are. We all have something, right? Now, here's what I want the rest of the family to do. I want you to surround these people, and I want you to lay hands on them, and I'm going to have a word of prayer that God would come upon them and help them through it. So just everybody else stand up and just move. We're a family here. Just move to a spot and put your hand on somebody's shoulder. This matters to God. When we act this way for brothers and sisters, to lift them up, to edify them, to pray on their behalf, to intercede on their behalf for what they're going through, this is what we were made for. So let's pray right now. Pray with me. Consent with me at the throne of God. Father God, we love you so much. And God, here are our brothers and sisters, your children, God. And there's things going on in their life that are hurting, that they're confused about, that they need wisdom for, God. And sometimes we don't know the direction except to turn to you, God. And then we have our brothers and sisters who are doing okay right now. Not that we all don't have something going on, but God, we're surrounding our brothers and sisters right now, God. We want you to see that this matters to us because it matters to you, God. So our family here who need healing in their lives, in one of their family members' life, God, would you touch them? Would you give them encouragement, God? Would you bring healing, not just in the body, God, but in the spirit and in their emotions and in their mind, God, to know that your will is perfect, that your will is good and your will is right, and we seek it, Father. So, God, we want to pray healing. It is our desire to have our brothers and sisters healed. We know, God, that you're more interested in our holiness than our happiness, but, God, We know that you walk with us and you can bring us joy in the moment. So God, we know that there's weeping for now, but in the morning there'll be joy, God. We pray your protection right now over our students, God, and the leaders who are leading them right now as they're traveling home, God. And I pray that they'll never forget what they experienced where they are, God. Change them forever. Allow them to surrender all to you, God, so that they can become on fire and power for you, God. And that's what we're all here about, God, is to make every moment matter, God. Every moment to you matters. So why don't we look at our lives and say, every moment matters, God. These people who are going through things right now, we lift them up to you, God. In the power of Jesus' name, by his name, we ask you to come upon them, God. Give them your joy. Give them your strength. Give them your will, God, to walk through. You say that you will help us, God, in everything. Your promise is that you will provide a way of escape or to stand up under anything that comes our way, God, as we trust in you. So I'm praying that for my brothers and my sisters right now, God, that you would come into their life and Holy Spirit, show your power today. Holy Spirit, show your presence today in their lives. Let them come away that there is no burden that weighs them down because your yoke is easy. So God, we pray that yoke be upon them and they lay down and release. Devil, you have no power here. Devil, we release you. You are out of here. Let there not be any discouragement. Let there not be any heartache, but trust in you alone, Lord, for their provision. And we pray all of this in the powerful, the worthy, and the amen, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we all said together, amen. Thank you, Jesus. It matters to God, y'all. It matters to God. This moment is ringing in heaven right now. He cares. He cares about everything that you say, every experience that you have in your life. God cares about it. Don't let the devil trick you or lie to you to think that you don't matter. It matters. No matter if you're in the valley, it matters. The Lord was with David in the valley of the shadow of death. It matters. He was with Moses on the mountaintop when all hell was breaking loose below the mountain. It matters. And it's got to matter to us. Philippians 1:21, our theme scripture, not just for this message, but in my heart, it's going to be for the whole year. Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For to me, that's you too. You claim that for yourself. For to me, to live is Christ, the way Christ lived. We know, read your word, what Christ endured. His sufferings, we are called to suffer. We are called to rejoice. We share that with him. And if we can share that with him here, we will share with him in heaven. Last week we spoke of the fact that you matter or count to God. Scripture is full of words that speak of how much we matter to God. That he takes us by our right hand and he says, do not fear. That he created us in his image. He takes great delight in us, and he rejoices over us with singing. He engraved our names in the palm of his hand. A sparrow couldn't fall to the ground without the Lord's care, and how much more are we worth to God than the sparrow? Throughout all 66 books of the Bible, God shares and shows how much we matter to him. And the ultimate epitome of matter, of how he feels about us, is shown in sending his own son to die in our place. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If there's nothing else in scripture that we know that shows that God, that we matter to God, it is that. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So today, I want to complete these three messages here by saying, God counts on you. God counts on you. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God can't do what he wants to do apart from us. He absolutely can, and he's shown that. I'm saying that God chooses to count on you. God chooses to believe in you. He believes in us. He believes. That's why he gives us so many chances. That's why he hasn't come back yet. He's a patient God. Why else would he send his only son? Why else would he be patient, wanting all men to come to him? Why else would we get forgiven 70 times 7? And it's not really 70 times 7. It's infinity. As long as the heart is contrite, as long as the heart is humble, as long as the heart is transparent, God will forgive. Why else will we get chance after chance after chance to be redeemed, to be made whole, to start over again? God believes in us. He created us in his image that we can make the most of every moment, every opportunity to grow into the image of his son and take up our cross daily and follow him. And he has given you the strength, not by your own, but by his strength, to take up that cross. Because some days, the cross is heavy. It's heavy. Even Jesus fell to the weight of the cross. The cross is heavy sometimes. But God has given you everything that you need right now, through him, through the power of his Spirit in you, to bear that cross. No matter how hard or difficult it may be. In Colossians 4 says this, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He counts on us to follow in the footsteps of his own son and count everyone as one who matters to God and treat them as such. Why? So that Christ in us can reach them too, so that they too can know the love of the Father, that and nothing in this world can separate us from. James 4 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Now listen to this. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I'm going to say that again. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. I can only imagine all my sins of omission. Opportunities to do good that I chose not to do. That I looked the other way because my schedule didn't permit it. The Lord provided an opportunity to follow him. The Holy Spirit laid out the steps to keep with him. And I decided to take my steps another way. So that scripture tells me that was sin to me. And I need to repent of those sins when they come upon me. You see, we tend to think about all the things that we do that dishonor God or that are bad, like murder and steal and lie and cheat and those kinds of things. The things that God says, don't do these things. We rarely think in our line of thinking when we're repenting of things to think about, God, what did I miss today that you were obviously showing me and I ignored? But those things we need, those are moments that are missed, and every moment matters to God and should matter to us. This next scripture could be the theme of my life because I don't ever see myself not engaged in some work of the Lord. John 9, 4 says this, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. You see, scripture says the harvest is ripe. The harvest is always ripe. The harvest is always ready. There is always, as long as there are people who don't believe, as long as there are people who haven't surrendered their life to the Lord, the harvest is ready. Now, it's the Lord that changes the heart. It's the Lord that prompts a person to come to him. But we are the tools to deliver the word of the Lord in his Spirit, not in our own. And that's where obedience comes in. You see, church, sometimes we tend to wait for God's action rather than getting our feet wet. We say, I'm waiting for a sign from the Lord. Anybody said that? I'm waiting on a feeling. Anybody said that? I'm waiting on the Lord to respond before I act or speak. It could cost me too much if I just go out without a definite assurance. But I say, is that faith? It is not. So I ask you this, are you at the Red Sea waiting for God to do something, or are you at the Jordan River willing to get your feet wet so as to enter the promised land in which he said is yours? Church, every moment matters. So 2019 is about walking into the Jordan River and walking out on the other side, because that's where the promises of the Lord are. That's where the favor of the Lord is. That's where the blessings of obedience lie, waiting for those to come and get them. And I personally want to get them in 2019. Every moment matters. So let's walk out of the Jordan together. Let's claim the promises that he has already said he will give us this year. He has already said it. We don't know exactly, but we know where our hearts are leading us. That's what I believe is the Lord's desire for his church this year. It has to be this year. This is the year where we take ground for the sake of Christ's fame, for his name's sake. There are people all around us that matter to God. Do they matter to us? If they do, then we have to make every moment matter in regards to reaching them. Are you waiting for someone else to speak justice? To call for righteousness? Or will you embrace the moment and proclaim the promise of God's favor? Are you waiting for others to stand up for those the world rejects or those the world reviles? Or will you seize the moment and say, God's love is for all? God's love is for all. Say it with me. God's love is? God's love is? And you know what? God wants to love those people. Through who? Through us. And I want you to point yourself. I want you to say me. God wants to love those people through
me.
He does. And that's what we have to get on board with. Are you waiting for even those you trust to advocate for who you are, for who God has called you to be? Or do you now find yourself needing to speak the truth and risk so much? If God calls you to speak, don't wait. If God calls you to go, don't wait. Because it's in the speaking and in the going, God sees our obedience and our will to surrender to what he has asked, and he delivers as we're on the way. He can, and he does. How do we measure our witness to the love of God? How do we measure 525,600 minutes in the year of our life? How do we measure the times when you can truly be who we are called to be? In what increments will you measure your life, your ministry? Because every moment counts, says Jesus. You count. You matter. And God counts on you. Right now, don't focus on the past. Don't focus on the future. When the present is right here. This very moment. I want you to hear this quote, and we're going to put it up here on the screen. Listen to this. Being present is measuring moments not by how we want to live, but how God wants us to live. Being present is measuring moments not by how we want to live, but how God wants us to live. In my moments, I am blind to what God wants to show me by only seeing my own wants, my own needs. That puts blinders up to see what God wants. I am overcome by stress or seeking God's answers to a problem. I am wisely pursuing things, people, and experiences he wants for me. Or am I too busy comparing to my neighbor, lamenting about things that I can't control, blaming other people for what I should have done, or worrying about what I cannot control? I realize full surrender and obedience is the best course of action. We cannot worry about the future, argue about the past, and still embrace every moment well. Let me say that again. We cannot worry about the past or worry about the future, argue about the past, and still embrace each moment well. So I stop and ask a simple question, and it's been said, but it is true, and I'm glad whoever came up with this phrase came up with it, because it applies. What would Jesus do? Do you ever ask yourself at that moment, when you're trying to make a decision, Jesus, what would you do? And you're waiting. Okay, I'm waiting. Guess what? He gave us his word. And we can go there and find it. We can find what he would do. And I doubt Jesus would continue to argue or worry or sulk or mentally check out or procrastinate. Following his lead, let's ask ourselves in this moment of sadness, how can I comfort? In a moment of anger, how can I forgive or be kind? In this moment of frustration or worry, how can I fully surrender to God and trust him? In this moment God has given, how can I spend it well? Because that's what you're doing with moments. You're spending them for the glory of God. We're spending every moment he gives us. We live it, we spend it. But how are we doing it? Let me tell you a short story of one of my favorite women in the Bible and how she spent well her moments that God gave her. Her name is Esther. And I had titled this "For Such a Time as This." Let me give you a brief synopsis. The book is only about 10 chapters long, but it's a powerful story if you've never read it. And I encourage you to do that. But let me just kind of sum it up here. The book of Esther begins with the queen of King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, as we know him, his queen Vashti, snubbing the king's request to meet with her. Xerxes burns with anger at her disobedience and consults his council as to what to do. After they inform him of what could happen if left unpunished, he divorces her, never to be in his sight again, Scripture says. Now he needs to pick a new queen and eventually manages, through a series of events, to select Esther, a beautiful young woman who is a part of his harem. Yet her nationality of being a Jew was kept secret at the request of her cousin or her uncle Mordecai. As for her backstory, Esther's an orphan who was raised by her cousin Mordecai, not Uncle Mordecai. Her cousin Mordecai, when the king came looking for young virgins to possibly fill the role of his new queen, Esther made sure to jump into line. She wins favor with the people in the harem, and eventually with the king himself, becoming his queen. Moreover, Mordecai helps uncover the plot to kill the king, because Mordecai became part of the king's service, allowing Esther to warn him in time. But all is not well in the king's court. Treachery is alive. When Mordecai refuses to bow down to the evil counselor Haman in the street, the evil counselor decides to engineer a plot to murder all the Jews in the Persian Empire. The plot basically involves Haman going to the king and saying, "I think we should kill all the Jews in the Persian Empire." And the king says, to paraphrase, "All right, let's do that." But see, the king didn't have all the information. Haman walks away, glad the king has agreed to his genocidal plans. The king doesn't know that his own queen is Jewish, because Esther's been keeping it a secret. But the threat of the Jews' imminent demise kicks Esther and Mordecai into action. Mordecai goes and wails outside the palace gates while wearing sackcloth, and Esther fasts for 3 days before visiting the king. Esther is worried that the king will execute her for visiting him unannounced. But to the contrary, because God is involved, he is mellow and he is pleased. He offers to give her whatever she wants. The Lord poured favor upon Esther. She asks him to have a banquet for her and Haman the next day. Then after the banquet, she asks for another one on the following day. Meanwhile, Haman is excited about the massacre that's about to happen, so he thinks. He builds a huge gallows, and the purpose is to hang Mordecai. But his hopes came crashing down the following morning when the king, remembering how Mordecai saved his life, orders Haman to honor Mordecai and lead him in a parade through the town, which Haman, of course, that threw a wrench into his plans. At the second banquet, though, Esther asked the king to punish Haman for trying to kill her and her people, and the king does. Now, there's some in-between lines there that you need to read about the story. Haman is hanged. Some versions say impaled to death on the same gallows he had built for Mordecai. The Jews of Persia massacre all of Haman's agents and supporters, and scripture says it's about 75,000 people in all. Mordecai is made into the king's new counselor, and it's believed that Purim becomes an official Jewish holiday to celebrate the Jews destroying their enemies. But it was God. And I want to read you this scripture, because this scripture here sums up this woman that had courage, that had strength, that had a whatever it takes. I'm not considering myself in this, but what God has called me to do. Esther 4, 14 and 15 reads, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." What happens when you implicitly trust God to do those things you believe he has led you to do? You say, "If I perish, I perish." If you know without a doubt that it is the Lord, that you, it's not just something that you desire, it's something that you conjured up in your mind, but you go back and you check it with scripture, you check it with advisors, and if you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is what God has called you to do, then your attitude should be, "If I perish, I perish." That what a great example that Esther is for us. In order to derive, A.M. Cowper says this, "In order to derive comfort and courage from God's providence over all things, this truth must be firmly believed. A weak or wavering faith may serve us when skies are bright and favorable winds fill our sails. But when the dark tempest howls and rages around us, we need a firm, unyielding trust in God's providence." It's not that Jesus wasn't angry or sad or didn't want to experience the difficult times of life. Think of when he cleared the temple. He wept for Lazarus or prayed fervently in the garden. He was fully man and fully God, and fully understands how life's moments can be less than blissful. Yet he always chose to spend every moment well. You may be saying, "Wow, that's a lot of pressure on me to think that God counts on me. What if I fail? What if I mess up? What if what I say or do causes someone to turn away from the Lord or question faith in God all the more?" Has that ever run through your mind? Is that the fear that you had that kept you from doing what God asked you to do, or taking doing that good that he called you to do, taking that opportunity? That could happen if you don't have confidence in the Lord. Because you see, when that happens, you're placing your confidence in yourself. And we have an end to our confidence. There's a lid. There's a law of the lid in our lives. And there's only so much that you can do. You can't go any higher and do any more outside what Christ can do in you. You have a lid. But through the power of Christ, you can do all things. You see, if you're a Christian, you have the fullness of God in you. As Christ is in you, so is every divine resource you will need to do the will of the Father. When God invites you to become involved in his work, he has already placed his Son in you so that you can carry out his assignment through your life. You've probably heard it said, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I believe that he does both. I believe he calls the qualified that have already been prepared with your gifts and your strengths, but he also qualifies the called. Because you see, God can do what he wants, when he wants, with whoever he wants, because it's all about him getting the glory. When God gives you a vision, he will also give you the provision. We've said that many times. All you need to accomplish, all he desires. My own life has illustrations in it like that. From high school to college, and going from college into a church and becoming a children's teacher, wanting to be in youth ministry. But they didn't want me to be in youth ministry. They wanted me to be the children's pastor. I didn't want to be the children's pastor. I didn't want to deal with people's children and runny noses and changing diapers and all of that. And I didn't want to lead the people who did. But God had other plans. So I stepped in obedience. When I became a worship pastor, I had no idea I would be a worship pastor for 14 years. I led students. I led them with the guitar. I asked God, I can't stand behind a piano. I got to be out front leading these kids. So I'm going to buy a guitar, God. If it's your will, then you help me. It was his will. He provided not only the time to practice, but he provided the guitar. It didn't have to come out of my pocket. Someone bought it for me. And during that time, he was praying. You see, I see every moment that we have right now in preparation for the next moment, for the next season. But how we embrace this moment now, how we live this moment, how we spend this moment now will determine if we get to that moment that he's got for us. And so in my preparation, I had no idea that when they asked me to come be a part of the new church plant they were planting, they came to me and said, we want you to be our worship pastor. And I went, what? I never led adults before. But Lord gave me a great platform and a foundation to trust him in all of this. And the same happened when I felt his moving in me to be a lead pastor. I had no idea what I was doing. And I still don't. Just ask somebody that knows me. Even days today, I go to the Lord sometimes and said, Lord, I don't have it. I don't know what to do next. I'm reading, I'm looking at seminars, I'm podcasts, I'm reading books, but God, you got to help me live this out because I don't know what I'm doing. You see, we just got to be available to God. And still today, even there's days that I go, I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm getting into here, but I'm going to do it. And God, I know that you count on me, but you got to help my belief here because I don't think I can do it. And the Lord says, you're right, you can't do it. But I can do it through you. And so that's what I live. There's some days I can't. I just fail at it. But there are days that I feel proud to be God's son because I've allowed him to live through me in it. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And you can say it with me, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. How to make every moment matter stems from letting God transform how we think. How you think is how you will act. You've got to change your thinking, church. Your thinking should say that I believe that God can do it through me. And whatever happens through me, if I've done my best and I've spent it well, then God's plan will be revealed. And if it becomes failing because God allowed people to fail, because we learn through failure, right? We grow through failure. God may say God's ordained plan may be that you fail so that the next time you'll trust him even more. You'll rely on him even more. You'll get more courage. You'll get more perseverance. That's a possibility. The real work of the church is to help people, give people a clear sense of who God is. That God is good no matter what they are experiencing right now. That he desperately loves them and is always available to them. The real work of the church is to help people come to grips with God's goodness, even though we often do not understand his ways. Church, God has given us everything we need and who we need to do everything he's asked us to do at this very moment. The people that are here, the money that we have, the resources, the talent, he's given it all to us, and we can do what he's called us to do in this moment. He will give us more for the next one because we'll need it. But if we're faithful in this moment, then he will open up and he will bless us and give us the next moment. He will. The church's purpose is to glorify God. God is glorified when his people walk in obedience, when our lives become a sacrifice of praise. We must do the will of the Father, and the Father desires all people should come to know him and accept him. The Father loves all people, therefore we should do whatever it takes to reach those people he has put in our view, individually and as a body of Christ. It is wrong to have an... Is it wrong, and this is for as we're moving forward in 2019, is it wrong for us to have the expectation of having new families join us here in this cause that God has given us, in this mission and this vision that God has called? Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. So how many should we say? Because you see, it's on all of us. It's not on the pastors. Well, pastor, if you deliver a better message, the people will come. If you communicate right, the people will come. You know, that maybe Jesus did that. That, of course, was, but he calls all of us. He calls all of us. So is it five families for 2019? Is it 10? Is it 13? 30? 50? One of our elders believes it's 100. That's a big goal, right? But God adds to the church, right? We got to walk in obedience, church. We got to speak when we're called to speak. You have a neighbor, you have a coworker, you have a friend that aren't connected to a church. Don't go stealing sheep. Don't go stealing sheep. There are people who aren't connected to a church right now that need the church, that need what we have here, that need Jesus, that need salvation. And we said last week, the day of salvation is now. So are you going to walk in it? Kids Hope USA is a mentoring program that we are going to partner with Freeman's Mill Elementary School. We got a director this past week, Derek Higgs. Robin, you know, tall Robin and Derek, our dance instructor. Derek, after our vision casting, Derek texted me. He said, Pastor Mike, had to leave early, but I want to talk to you about that mentoring position. Derek has been part of mentoring for over 30 years, and he's excited about this. We met with the director. He's on board. He's going through training. So here's what I need you to do, because we're going to be doing a little presentation of the campaign here in a couple weeks. I need you to go ahead and start praying about it if you're called to be a mentor to one of those kids over at Freeman's Mill Elementary. Start praying now. Maybe you don't have to. Maybe you've already decided in your spirit that that's what you're supposed to do. But we're going to unveil that campaign, and we're going to work hard at it all year long, because God has called us to do that. Family Promise, our first week of Family Promise starts here at the end of February of 2019. It's almost on us. How will you matter in those moments? In everything that we do here, you need to ask yourself, how am I going to make that matter moment? Am I supposed to be involved in that? I'm not asking you to be involved in everything that we do here. It might not be what God's called you to do, but he's called us to do these things, so we are the people that are called to do them. So you have to decide what matter. What moment you're supposed to be in everything that we do, and then when you're in it, make every moment matter in it. Church, seasons come and seasons go. God created the seasons to mark time. The church has seasons of its life too. A season has been established by God for the Fountain Church for 2019. But it will only be realized, it will only be lived, if we walk in obedience and make every moment matter and matter in every moment. That has to be each of our commitments this year. You are not too young and you are not too old to be a part of that. God calls us all, from the child to the oldest person in this church. We are called to it together because we're the body of Christ. So let's walk in every moment and make it matter, because it matters to God. It matters so much that he sent his son to die, that Jesus came to earth and showed us how much it mattered. As a baby, he started off in a great way to show us how much it matters to God. And then he lived his life, and he spent 33 years preparing for 3 years of ministry. And at the end of that 3 years, it was his time to fulfill the will of the Father and become our sacrifice. Once and for all, that's what he did. And he did it willingly. So, opportunity to clear your heart. Be grateful for what he did. Have joy in what he did. Although it is a moment in history that we're sorry that happened. But God wants us to rejoice because of what his son did. And if we can accept that and live in that, then that glorifies the Father. And he says, sending my son was not done in vain. It was for a purpose. And thank you for believing in it. So here in a moment, I'm going to pray. The band's going to play and sing, and you have an opportunity to come and receive communion. Two tables here and two tables in the back. Would you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for every moment. And God, I'm sorry when I just go through a day and I don't take stock of every moment that I've lived. God, you care about every moment of my life. Every thought, every feeling, every action, every word, every emotion, every motive, God, you care about. You want to take me. You want to take us, God. We are your vessels to fill up, to carry your word, to carry the Spirit of the Lord and reflect Jesus so that others too might become vessels of a holy God. Be with us right now, Father, as we reflect, as we are rejoicing of what our Lord did for us. And we take this communion, remembering his sacrifice, his body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the purification, to be made righteous in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. And Holy Spirit, thank you for sticking around to help us out. We love you so much. So bless this time now to your glory and our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Now, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he look into your life, and may he find you mattering in all of the moments that he places before you. God bless you. Have a great week.